Hi, Paul Slatkis, Good News Broadcast. I'm speaking to Dr. Dana Churchill. Hi, Doctor. How are you?
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me on. This is a great honor. Appreciate it.
It's a great honor for me as well. The Churchill Center, Functional Medicine, caring for the growing needs of our community. Dr. Churchill's a very interesting gentleman and doing good things. Some of the words I see here on your homepage here, never too young. I'm sorry, never too old to be young. That's a good one. Health for life. That picked up my ears, and the word bionic. So you have a very interesting approach here. Tell us, share your good news with us.
Well, it's interesting when the old and the young and the bionic, all that came to my mind was when I was, well, let me just, I'll tell you a little bit of my history. So when I was 15 years old, I was diagnosed with benign hypertension, and nobody knew why. It was a lot of reasons, which we could get into another time, but I found out later, much later. So, you know, having high blood pressure from 15 to 30 years old, and being in the restaurant business isn't the greatest scenario for future health and wellness. Actually, it's very detrimental. And I didn't take it seriously, so, you know, it was pretty tough. And all, but I didn't feel it. You know, you can't feel it when you're younger. But when I hit 30, it all hit the fan. And my mom had taken me to Atkins. And I just mentioned that because there was a pivotal moment when I was at Atkins in New York. She was very proactive. She gave me every benefit, every hospital, every test, and nobody could figure out what was going on. So I went to Atkins, and I remember picking up my supplements after going through the whole process and the machines and, you know, his consultation. And it was like 30 different medicines. I do some of that now with my patients, but not all of that. It's just too much sometimes if you do that much. But I was young and it was great, so I was doing it. But I remember sitting there waiting to get my vitamins. And a guy came out of the back room with all these boxes of different supplements. And I saw this guy. All I knew was this guy was buff. He was buff. He was a little older than I was. I was very young then. I mean, like maybe 20s, early 20s. And his hair was blonde. He looked like the California surfer dude, right? Big muscles. And all I equated it was with, this is what health is. This is what I want to do. I had no other aspirations in the world just to look like that guy. And that got me going in the right direction. And I knew, and the doctors were telling me, you'll never get off this blood pressure medicine. Like, you'll never. And I'm like, well, I didn't think a whole lot about it then, Paul. You know, it was like, I guess it was helping me. I couldn't tell what it was doing because I didn't feel much when I was younger. But later on, I remember what they told me that. And I said, no way. There's no way I'm going to be on it. Because I started to see how tired I was. I took Tenormin. I took a beta blocker, an ACE inhibitor, and something else. I can't remember. But they made me really tired. And they did a lot of kidney damage, too. They don't tell you this if you take them long term. And I took them for a long time, high doses. So that was a pivotal moment. I had a bunch of those kind of epiphanies where you're just like, you know what? Something's just not quite right here. I don't know what I could do about this right now, but I'm not going to listen to it, and I'm not going to believe it. And I think that's really important for a lot of people out there to question things. Their intuition just says this is not quite right. And don't internalize it, and don't make the disease your own. You know, you don't want to do that because there's a great strength in your thoughts. And I've learned over the years, I mean, well, to bring it up to speed. So, you know, I went back to school for nutrition at Rutgers when I was about 30. And that was, you know, at the beginning of all this kind of everything hit the fan. I started feeling bad. My parents are like, you know, they're Ivy League academics. So, of course, they're going to say, look, go back to school. That's the only way. You know, my dad's a professor. And so I'm like, okay, I'll go back to school. And they were great. They supported me and whatever I needed, and later completely paid off all my loans. I mean, they're amazing people. They helped me so much. And then I went through Rutgers, and then I actually started medical school at 40 years old. And that's no easy feat. But about the same time I got into medical school, my landlord, a Chinese man who actually had been climbing, he's like 7 years old, Jeffrey Chen. I'd seen him go from really kind of old and decrepit to climbing on a third-story roof, fixing his roof himself, and within 6 months. And I didn't pay much attention to it. I was like, that's kind of weird. But he came to me one day, and I went to the church. I did a lot of self-help stuff for a long time. And when I first, realized, I got to change my lifestyle. This is not working. And one day I came back from the church, and I had just made a prayer in the church, and I never made a prayer like this ever before. And I said, look, this is not, I went there 9 years. I said, it's not really working out for me here. I feel beautiful energy. I love the people here, but I'm not inside. I'm still really hollow, and I'm not able to work on myself. I'm not able to change the inside. I can change the outside, and I've always done that, but that's superficial, and I didn't know how to go inside. And there's a lot of stuff I didn't like about myself. I could start to see all this, which is good. It all came out over those 9 years. And so then I went home, I parked my car, Jeffrey Chen pulled right up behind me right after I said this prayer. Oh, and then I said, I want to be the best person I could possibly be. And I didn't mean looks or money at that point. I really meant like the whole me. I want the whole me to be the best I can possibly be, like in the whole universe. And I really meant it. And I went home, and Jeffrey Chen pulled up behind me. He got out of his car, and he said, when are you leaving for school, and what are you going to study? I said, I'm leaving in a couple of weeks. I'm going to study this, I'm going to study that. And all he needed to hear was Chinese. I said, Chinese medicine. He went back in his car. He got a video and a book, and he just says, Falun Gong, Falun Gong, Falun Gong, this is for you. And he pushed it into my stomach, like, when somebody holds something, you can't not resist it. If I had not taken it, it would have fallen on the ground. So I grabbed the book and the video. And it wasn't like I was going to push it away. At that point in my life, after 9 years, I knew I was on a path. I knew that I couldn't tell the universe what I was going to do anymore, that I needed to listen. And the path was laid out for me. It was laid out from day one. It was the most amazing transition I'd ever had in my life. And that was pretty much 9 years of that. But I still needed a little more help. And I think, you go through one system or you do some self-help, and you're led to another, led to another, led to another. And that was 9 years. I was good. I had a good foundation. And not just Christianity, but just understanding how not to tell the world that I'm the number one bozo in the world and I'm going to get everything I'm going to get, which is all superficial, because I just got slammed down from doing that. I really got slammed down, and I had to find a better way. And I finally did. And so I took this video and this book. I went up to my room, and I was studying biochemistry then, and I was dyslexic, and I had ADD, and I still had hypertension. It really hadn't gone away much. It was better. I was taking handfuls of vitamins, minerals, supplements. I was experimenting with every nutritional thing there was in the book, exercises, and I still couldn't get my pressure normalized. And I was anxiety-ridden. I mean, this is after 9 years, Paul. So something's just not working here. I took this video and this book, and I put the video in, and I started watching it, and it was Master Li teaching the exercises, and it was really a little bit of history about Falun Gong. So I said, okay, I'm game for this. So I looked in I had a full-length mirror in my room at that point. Now, I wasn't vain, right? A guy with a full-length mirror, what do you need that for? So I was looking in the mirror, and I was doing the exercises, right? And I got about 15, 20 minutes of the exercises done. And then I sat back down in my biochemistry, which I'd just been studying. And I had a really hard time with biochem. It was just tough for me with all my learning disabilities and everything. And I sat back down, and it started to flow. Everything started to click on that page. And I was like, wait a minute. This can't be from just doing that for 15, 20 minutes. There's no way. And I checked it out. I'm a scientist. I'm experiment. I don't believe anything unless I prove it to myself, such to my detriment many times. But I learned the hard way, whatever. I learned it. And I realized that those exercises in just those few minutes had changed my brain. Maybe it wasn't going to stay like that, and it didn't, but it changed it for those few minutes. So then all of a sudden, Jeffrey comes up to my room and says, hey, there's an exercise site at Princeton Shopping Center, and you can go tomorrow and learn the exercises that you were just trying to do in your room, because he saw me. I said, oh, okay, what time is it? I'm thinking, I go over there around 10 or 11. This will be great. He goes, 5 a.m. So I'm like, what? 5 a.m.? I was doing catering. I was in the restaurant business still trying to make money to pay for my school and stuff. So he says, yep, 5 a.m. That's the only time around here that you can go. And it's two people, a husband and wife. They'll teach you for free. So the first night I went to sleep, I wanted to go, but I didn't have very much impetus. I was like, oh, I want to go, but I got to sleep. So there was still this attachment to sleep. I overslept. I never woke up. But I had a really weird dream, and the dream was an auditory dream. It was like you hear stuff, right? So, and it was interesting. It was follow the Buddha way, follow the Buddha way, follow the Buddha way all night long, or at least in the morning, when you remember stuff. Usually it's the last thing that you dream. And I remember waking up hearing this, and I'm like, what? Oh, that can't be. That's just, I don't believe in that stuff. That's whatever. That's just my brain doing weird things. So the next night, I went to bed. I said, you know what? And I guess I had a hard day. It was my blood pressure was high. I said, you know, I got to do something about this. I kept getting kicked in the butt to do what I'm supposed to do, which is very interesting, and that's a whole other discussion itself. But I went, got up that morning at like 4:30. I was wide awake, Paul, and I was like literally wide awake, and I couldn't sleep anymore. I was pretty excited, and I had the same dream. Actually, I had the same dream again, and I went to the Princeton Shopping Center, and they taught me the exercise. And I just want to make, and they taught me Falun Gong. There's five sets of exercises, slow-moving exercises, and it was amazing. And the one thing I remember was there was three mats there. There was two people teaching me, the husband and wife, but there was always three mats, sitting meditation mats. There was one for Helen, one for Ho Chien, and then the third mat. I didn't know for the longest time. I brought my mat, and I put my mat behind the third mat. And I asked them like a month later, I said, what is that mat for? Nobody's coming, be joining us. They go, that's your mat. And I cried, Paul. I just couldn't believe it. This was set up for me from so long ago. And these people were so compassionate. They brought them out every day. And they knew I was coming, or maybe they didn't know, but it was also like an impetus to get me to come there, I think. It was like that mat drew me. I don't know what it was, but I kept going. And I remember leaving, and I didn't need glasses anymore. I used to look at the sign coming up the top of Harrison and Nassau Street to go to my apartment, and I realized I didn't need glasses anymore. All my anxiety went away within the first month. My blood pressure started to normalize. It took about 3 months. I got off all my blood pressure medicine. And from there on out, I never looked back. And it's 20 years later. And I can tell you, I can have had the most incredible experiences that anyone on this earth could ever. I could write a book. Like my third eye has been open sometimes. I auditorily can hear things, like really good stuff. And I'm a normal person. I'm a physician. I believe in science. I love science. I love labs. I love learning. But I have this other incredibly deep intuition and these, I guess you call them supernormal capabilities that we can get if you just peel the layers off and you strip everything off and you give up your attachments. And that was the thing. I was so attached to everything on the earth. I was like grounded, rooted in cement here. There's no way I could heal until I started giving up, you know, my attachment to fear, my attachment to lust, my attachment to getting stuff, my attachment to pleasing my parents, all this crap, which I think a lot of us have, but mine seems to be magnified like 1,000 times more than it should be. And I had food problems. I used to love to eat. You know, I was in the restaurant business. I was in France and Switzerland. So that was a crutch actually later on. And I realized I had to eat just normally. You know, I can't just eat whatever I want, whenever I want all the time because my labs are crazy. And I started getting back in shape. So, I mean, for me, that's the gift of all gifts. And I'll tell everybody the same thing. And now I teach people that for free. We always give back freely with Falun Gong. And I'm on two boards. Unfortunately, the Chinese government has been persecuting Falun Gong really severely since 1999. And that's all from Jiang Zemin. I mean, Xi Jinping hasn't done anything to stop it, but Jiang Zemin is the one, the third president back, who really went after Falun Gong with a vengeance. And nobody really understands why, except that there was more Falun Gong practitioners than the Communist Party. And if you know anything about the Communist Party, they're just basically paranoid schizophrenics. They're just really, it's a lot of dysfunction. So I've been on two board of directors trying to stop the illegal organ harvesting. We have quite a bit of information now over the last 15 years. One's called DFOH, Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting. That's the main one. There's only doctors all over the world who've been trying to stop this, especially a doctor in Israel named Dr. Levy. He's brilliant. This guy is like 6'5". He's like a bear club paws, and he's just the most compassionate guy you could ever meet. He had a patient tell him that the patient was going to go to China for an organ. He's a cardiologist, cardiothoracic surgeon, transplant surgeon, one of the top ones in all the world in Israel. And his patient said, I'm going to China to get an organ. And Dr. Levy said, you mean a heart? He goes, yeah, and the insurance is going to pay for it. Israeli insurance is going to pay for it. And Dr. Levy said, okay, that's great. Well, when are you going to, you know, he thought it would be like a year or 2 years from down the road. So I go, why are you making arrangements now? He says, no, I'm going to get it in 2 weeks. And Dr. Levy just stood there, and I met him a bunch of times. He tells the story. He just was shocked, like shocked. He went white because he kind of got, he says, if this is what I think it is, this is the most horrific thing that's ever happened on this earth, and I'm going to make sure I'm going to try to stop this. So he found out, yeah, the patient did go. He was on life support. He got him whatever meds he needed to get over to China. He got the organ, the heart transplant. He came back. and I guess he was fine. I don't know what happened to the patient. So Dr. Levy called our organization, called our director, and asked him what was happening. And Torsten told him what was the situation, and then Dr. Levy came onto our board. And that's how we got a lot of doctors around the world, and many different disciplines have been supporting us to stop that. But the report that came out from Kilgore, Madison, Gutman, about 3-4 years ago, a very detailed 800-page report with 1,200 footnotes of all the different transplant centers in China, what they're doing, how many drugs they're buying. I mean, they look at every detail. You know, they can't find the people. There's no eyewitness. Well, there's a couple eyewitnesses, but most of it's the recap of what's going on in these hospitals, which we got from people in China who risked their lives. It was at the end of the whole thing, it said that 60 to 100,000 Falun Gong were murdered for their organs every year since 2001 up till this year right now. And that transfers over into the Uyghurs, which we know there's 1 million Uyghurs in the death camps right now, those concentration camps, the Muslim Uyghurs. There's the Tibetans, which they basically destroyed them, or almost completely, and then the House Christians. So we estimate 5,000 to 10,000 of those guys have been organ harvested as well. So that's been my life's work, and that's fine, and I'm happy to do it. So with that, I don't mean to leave you guys on a somber note, but there is stuff on this earth now that's really, really horrific, and we need to stand up to it. We can't just let it just go by, and you know, we can't. I couldn't sleep well. I got to do as much as I can. And that's why I translate into medicine, too, because I really have studied. I've been gifted. You know, after practicing Falun Gong, it seems like every door opened for me whenever I needed it, and it was usually always the best person in that field was teaching me. A4M, I was introduced to. You know, last six years ago, my parents were like, well, you seem like you're getting kind of bored with medicine. Why don't you do something else here? We'll pay for A4M. And then why don't you go do something else? What else do you want to do? I said, well, there's Thierry Hertog in Belgium. He's the number one bioidentical hormone specialist in the world. Okay, he had a class 4 days. I went there. I learned all the European stuff. It was amazing. And I came back with a renewed vigor. So I translate that energy into everything I do. You know, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to do it 150%. And I'm going to stand up for what's not right in the world. I've also had to mellow out on that, too. And also Falun Gong's taught me that compassion is your best weapon. Deep compassion for every human being, for everybody around you. Because you can get things done that way. And people like you. You know, I used to bash everything. I used to go at it with, not anger, but just like with aggressiveness, like a New Yorker. You know, just get this done. What's wrong with you? Anyway.
Being a New Yorker. I'm peaceful. I'm a low-key guy. Let me back to Churchill. You're a very interesting man, by far. And you're a passionate. There's no doubt of it. And you're a very sensitive guy. I don't know where that came from.
Oh, yeah.
When you're a little boy or something. You're very honorable and sensitive and, you care. You could feel it. You know, just like your comment here, growing needs of the community, caring.
Yeah.
You know, I would ask you. You know, we didn't even talk about your actual facilities over there. You know, the Churchill Center. You know, this is a lot about you, who you are as a man, and I like that actually. I love to learn about a person. So I'm going to ask you a man kind of question, okay? Where do you think your character? How do you think that it initially, early days of your life? What was impressed? Do you think upon you that made you be sort of a little bit of the way you are?
The sensitiveness came from. I don't think it even came from this earth, Paul. I don't know what that was, and it was a detriment when I was younger because I could feel every single thing. If someone yelled at me, I would just fall apart. It was a horrible upbringing. I mean, it was a tough life, and I think a lot of people who are cultivators, I'm a cultivator, you know, or kind of, I guess, monks, you could say. We are somewhat similar to monks in society. We pay back a lot of karma in the beginning of our lives. At least that's how we talk about it in Buddhist philosophy, and I think I had to pay back a lot, and I didn't know, but I could feel the most beautiful energies too, and I could sense things from stuff that wasn't from this earth, and I wanted to find out where that was, because I would hear a song, and sometimes tears would just roll down my face, and all my hair would stand up on end of my, you know, when you have like a experience, like a spiritual experience, and I could get that like 5-6 times a week, And I'm like, where is this stuff coming from? That's why I went to the church. I didn't necessarily go to the church to heal myself, because you don't know what you need when you need it, really. You just kind of follow a path. And I realized this, I didn't even think about it, but I was incredibly sensitive to, and I think a lot of people later, my patients are like that too, and I think if they don't harness it and they don't figure it out, they really get beaten down, or I don't want to say they become like mentally ill, but it's really, you have to, anyway, the universe or my teachers along the way show me how to harness that and how to use it for good and how, what a gift that is. Because I can usually know when someone's calling me. I usually know when someone's thinking about me. It's interesting because when I've called somebody for a long time, or one of my patients, I'll call them right away. They're like, how do you know? I was just thinking about you. I'm like, okay, well, that's why I called you. Are you okay? And it helps me a lot in my life. And but where it came from, I don't know. That's an interesting question.
You are in the right place with the right you're the right person for what you're doing, 100%. Your patients must be crazy about you, because I can see take serious consideration of everybody, and probably every animal, every plant, everything around you. That seems to be your DNA, and I love it.
I wasn't always like that, though. I mean, we used to shoot squirrels with slingshots. I mean, but I still, when they were doing, I hated that. I felt so terrible. I just horrible, you know. So, I was forced to do what other kids did, and some of it. But anyway, I think after I practiced Falun Gong, it unlocked all of it, and explained to me why I am this way. And then it was amazing. It still wasn't easy, but it was amazing. But there's patients like this too, and I see them. I know them. And it's funny because I don't know if you know anything about homeopathy, but I kind of went down that path, but I didn't quite do it, which was fine because I found something much better, I think. But there's the phosphorus. It's phosphorus. Homeopathic phosphorus has all these traits that I'm talking about. And there's a few other homeopathic remedies. But yeah, so, I mean, it's been a journey, and I would never change it. I would never change one page of it. You know, I've been blessed beyond blessed. I know that now. So.
It's beautiful. You know what, Dr. Churchill? I'd like to make this our first conversation, and if that's okay with you.
Sure.
Because you really have a tremendous amount, and I'd like to get deeper into your actual practice, maybe at another part here.
Yeah, sure.
Because... you know, it's very. I love the man. Okay, the man behind the Churchill Center. You know, that's for me is quite important. Literally, I'm also interfaith, spiritual minister, carrying that kind of a guy. So, for me to hear what you're talking about, which to be open, many people don't. You know, expose our share, I'll say,
right.
Combination of those
right.
two words, their real being with others.
Right.
Right. And, maybe either they don't get an opportunity, they just don't, you know, they don't, it's just not their nature. Your nature is to share who you are, and I feel that you do that so others can learn from you.
Not yeah, they heal. I've way. Seen it. They heal when you... Yeah, it helps the patient so much when, yeah, it helps them because if I just sit there and listen and talk for them. So.
That's what the people need, you know, and especially integratively, you know, I believe also that very similarly we heal ourselves.
Totally, yeah, 100%. But we have to know how, though. That's the thing, like I used to chant before... I used to chant in the closet. Only up until a certain point in my life, I only did like Western stuff, herbals, homeopathics. I never looked in any, except go to the church and read the Bible or whatever. And I didn't get any energy. I didn't feel anything from that. And I'm very sensitive. So what I have has to resonate with me. And I would try the chanting in the closet. And that was my way. That's the best way I could think of to help myself heal at the time. And that led to the next thing, you know what I mean? And finally that led to getting the book. For, you know, the meditation we do now, Master Lee's book. But if you don't know, like, I had no clue, Paul. How, like, oh, my life was so hard. I had such a horrible relationship with my mom. She was, like, my worst enemy when I was starting to go through all this. And all of a sudden, here comes Carolyn Miss, and I got that book. And then I got Wayne Dyer's book, and somebody took me, like that week I was working on that issue, somebody said, okay, come to the conference with Wayne Dyer. They bought me a ticket for free. And the door just opened up, man. It was like, and I realized I don't have to do anything really but show up and get out of bed.
Those are leaders. Yeah, Dr. Churchill, those are leaders. They're on Good News. I've interviewed them both. And they're
great
people who you can learn from. Let me ask you one last question at this moment, okay? As I say, I really enjoy this conversation with you and the strength in your character. You know, we're involved with the International Day of Peace, World Peace Day, have been for over 20-plus years or whatever, and our whole Good News, Positive Life-Affirming mission is built around that as well. And so I've asked many people for themselves, for Dr. Churchill, what does peace mean for you?
I have it already. You mean for the world? Because I'm not searching for it anymore.
Well, either way, whatever, personally or...
Well, for me, I'm not searching. Yeah, after the last 20 years, I know, because when you look inside in depth, we're taught to always look inside. If we're not looking inside, we're going down the wrong path. And if I strip the layers and I'm given this gift to always look inside to find out, why is my heart moved in any scenario, anywhere? It's always my fault. If my heart's moved, it's nobody else's fault. Then you start to learn how to have deep, deep peace. And you hope that nothing could rock that. I mean, we never know everything, but we get rid of all those attachments and then nothing can rock your peace. That's the only way I can say it. Nothing can move your heart. But for the world, wow, that's so hard. I mean, I would hope that everybody could practice Falun Gong. I really would, because I've seen the changes in everybody around me and all the testimonials online. Like, there's thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, and I don't know. It's been estimated in the future, and you could think what you want of this, that 90% of the people will be reading Master Lee's book in the future. That's how powerful this movement is. I'm just going to leave you with that. But it's a very powerful book, and it's healed so many people and helped so many people's lives very quickly, though. I mean, we're only talking like in 20 years, 25 years. But I would hope the world can just put down my sponsor. I used to have a sponsor years ago when I first started this journey. He says, put down the swords. That's all he would tell me. Phil Schwem, man, if you're still out there and you hear this, you help me so much. Put down the swords. I was just knee-jerk, the sword. Everything was trying to defend myself. So if we can get away from that and get out of ourselves and try to move that to compassion for others, or at least not thinking about ourselves so much and thinking of the other people first, I think the whole world would change. Everything would change. So.
Oh, all good. Beautiful. Dr. Churchill, thank you. Big honor to get this moment here to speak with you and for hear your good news. Appreciate
thank you,
the
Paul.
Conversation.
Thanks for having me on.
You take care.
All right, have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You as well. Bye-bye.